If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Utter deep breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grand America Show. Coming at you this week with Dave Zilla. It's like some magic stuff, right? Occult stuff.
Magical AI grimoire. Yeah. Book of Shadows for Contemporary Chaos. That was fantastic chat. And I love this book. It's really interesting. Using AI for magic and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Magical AI.
Yeah.
Giving the AI magical powers. Perhaps.
Yeah.
That's a good chat with Dave. Of course, if you want to skip ahead, there's always a time stamp in the show notes you can click on and just poof, away you go. Away you go. And you're in the interview with Dave Zilla, which is a good one. Skip our lazy ramblings or we'll do some housekeeping, talk about some bull crap, talk about our upcoming trip to the Cosmic Summit, which is coming up quickly. I'm leaving in just a couple days now. You leave on first thing Friday morning.
Yeah, I got out. Like really early, 4 or 5 in the morning, I guess. So,
yeah. So I leave here Wednesday, but yeah. Not Wednesday morning. Really, pretty much morning.
I got 2 true transfers. So I mean, I don't know. We'll see if I make it on time. But it's an all day journey, no matter what.
Double transfer.
Yeah, 3 flights.
Three flights.
Yeah.
Each way.
Probably, yeah. Oh no, maybe on the way back I got two maybe or something.
Ouch. I just got a one-way flight. I got two direct flights to Nashville. Like as far east as you can go and still get the direct flight. So I'm doing that. Boosting over there, meeting up with Nikki the dude and heading east. It's going to be a good little trip.
It'll be a fun trip. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see everybody again. Because I missed the last one, so I'll see everybody that I missed on our last trip. And the Curry Convention Center in Greensboro. If anybody hasn't got their ticket yet for Cosmic Summit, tons of good speakers and guests, classroom stuff going on. Use Grimerica 25 for 10% off the 3 tickets. It's the Atlantean, the... I'm going to mess up my... Atlantean, and what's the other two types of tickets? Megafauna and Anunnaki. No, I don't think it's an Anunnaki. Atlantean, Megafauna. Let me just double check here. I think I have the email open still.
Tony Heller's on for tomorrow.
Nice. Wow. That'll be interesting. What time is that?
3 p.m. our time.
Okay. So let me see here. Where did it have that? Wow. I'm just gapping out here. It said they had the discount for anyways, also 3 cams. Well, I figured this out. 3 cams. I know it doesn't sound like the best, number 3 cams. Cause they're granting, there's going to be 3 live streams going. Like 45 hours plus of content for $50. So 25 off. And so use the code 3CAMS for the whole virtual experience of that, which is fantastic. So it's Megafauna, Atlantean, and Anunnaki. Yeah, it gets 10% off if you use Grimerica 25.
Grimerica 25. I heard so Trump left already, eh? Oh no, maybe he didn't leave already, but he's decided that he's going to leave earlier than he was going to leave. He's already had enough. Now, I think it's got more to do with the war break.
Yeah, probably he wants to try and stop the war like he said he was going to do. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Wah, wah.
I saw something about Iran saying like, okay, well, maybe we'll stop for peace talks, cease fire if Trump's commits to not getting involved or something like that. So who knows what to believe anymore, you know?
Then why don't they just do that first? You know,
they just called the bluff, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to get into it, especially on this show.
Yeah. I got a couple days. I'm staying someplace cool in I think Tennessee the first night and then North Carolina the second night with the dude.
I was thinking this wasn't the best timing
for us to do. I'll be in the country the whole time. So I'll just fly into Nashville and get the fuck out of Dodge. We're heading straight out of the city and heading east.
Oh, you mean countryside?
Yeah. And then Monday, I'm leaving and going into the mountains till Wednesday morning. Then darting out Wednesday morning and back to the airport to stay with Brandon Powell. He's got this place rented and invited us out to stay for a couple of days. So we'll go stay with him for a couple of days. This happens to be on the way back kind of too. So it's like almost exactly on the way back.
Nice.
So it worked out great. Yeah. Couple more nights of free lodging. A little trip. We'll get away.
Thanks for inviting me to that. Brandon.
Brandon? Yeah, talk to Brandon. It's not my place to start inviting people. I already had to invite Nikki the dude, which is awkward enough because I was like, well, Nikki's driving us, so is there room for him? He said yes. So it's his boy's birthday, so happy birthday, boy. I forget which one.
Awesome.
But the wife's excited because it's some new mountain she's never been in.
Cool. Yeah, she likes the hiking and stuff, eh?
I think we'll go through two mountains, really, because we must go right through the mountains. How far up do those mountains go?
I don't know. I have no idea about the eastern geology.
Never really been down there.
Are you talking about the Appalachians? Is it the Appalachians?
The Appalachians, yeah. It's got to be. That go all the way up, because like the Brown Mountains and the Blue Mountains, those are all parts of the Appalachians, right?
I think so.
Where the Brown Mountain Lights are?
I don't know. This is way, way over my...
The Brown Mountain Lights can't be far from where we are. Probably very close.
Huh. Anyways, I mean, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, and you're doing your presentation.
Well, not really. I'm just on a panel. It's like a 10-minute thing. I think we all have 10 minutes, so I just whipped up something. But I mean, it was fun making it in a way, but now that I've made it, it seems a little anticlimactic. I'm like, ooh, this doesn't feel like it's going to go over very well. But I don't know. I just have to have fun with it and not really care. Just go up and just be myself and not worry about it, because otherwise I'll stress myself out. I mean, I don't really care to be on stage at all, really, talking about anything. So, but I mean, I've read a lot of the books, and so I'm hoping maybe some of it will come back. But I mean, once you dig into the research, like, of course, you know, there's a big controversy with RKX and some of our friends in the community, and there's so much research in Atlantis. It's crazy, right?
Why does everyone get so upset?
Well, I just don't like people being called liars. Like, I just don't like people being like, it's one thing just to say you're wrong and all that kind of stuff, but when you call people liars and shills and all that, I just don't like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've called enough people shills too. I don't know, but
you have.
But yeah. if it's in the same community, it just splits up the communities. It's like Randall and Graham have been attacked from all sides too, right? And Randall's pushing back on the climate change, and Graham gets called a white supremacist, and he gets in trouble for, you know, being against the mainstream, and yet now they're still all controlled up. Like, it's crazy to me. So,
because you have to agree with Archaic.
You have to agree with
us. I don't know why he hates us, because he
didn't hate us. He just thinks we're just part of Randall's group or whatever, right?
Is that why? Because there was the prior altercation. Remember before this, where I asked him to come on the show, and he told us to get a grip or fucking get a clue. No, I'm not coming back on the show. I mean, that's from our perspective.
Are you sure he said that?
He said something. I remember
it was quite that bad. No,
it was. it was definitely kind of fucking rude. And I was kind of surprised by it. And then when I see how he comes out this time again, I'm like, yeah, so he's got a chip on his shoulder for us for some reason. And the only reason I can think of is because we don't like exactly agree and perpetuate his work.
But I talk about his work all the time in a good way. I mean, I'm always
bring it up with guests all the time.
Yep.
We brought it up with
it's because I've defended Randall a bit. That's why.
And as far as that goes, like I've tried to bring some of this other stuff up with Randall too. The dude is just like, you know, I've even tried to bring up the stuff that I have for pet theories, like Tychos and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, he's not dismissing it. He's not telling me it's wrong. He's just like, I don't have fucking time for that.
Right? I know, that's why I tried to explain to these guys. Like,
I've got 10 years left. This is what I'm doing. He's like, I'm switching gears right now.
Oh, yeah. RKX is like, oh, he hasn't produced a book. So what? He hasn't made a paper. So what? Who can? Randall's not trying to claim to be anything he's not. He's just open to a bunch of different theories. But he just agrees with the timeline that Plato put out there. That's it. And there's some things wrong with that timeline. You know, I agree, right? Iron, Athens, two main ones that are kind of weird, right? But that doesn't mean that people like Randall don't have answers for why they still think it's a legitimate timeline and they don't agree with RKX's timeline. I mean, I didn't want to get into all this here, but maybe we should talk about it because it's infuriating. I'm like, he's making up a bunch of stuff about Randall and Graham. Oh, they're in this group. They're all tied together. Randall and Jimmy don't even agree on like Randall and Jason would agree on the Richak structure. They're pretty much on the same page of that. So they're on the same page with some things and not others. Like what is wrong with that? You think you're going to get everybody onto your timeline and your research that Atlantis was like 11 something BC, like 1100 something BC or 3300 is one of his timelines, which I like that. I talk about that all the time. But you can't expect these guys that have been doing this other research for decades to just all of a sudden, like, just come over to your side like that because they've got their own reasons why they don't, right? It's not, they're not trying to hide anything. They're not lying.
Well, the only one I can speak directly about is Randall.
Yeah, sorry. Well, this is my opinion on Randall and Graham. I can't say anything for Jimmy and Jason, Jimmy and the other guy, Billy. Jimmy and Billy. I don't know them.
I don't really know Graham. I don't no. know Randall very well, though. I talk to Randall fucking a lot, you know?
Yeah. Like, and he's just not, he just, boy. I told these guys, look, he doesn't have the time, man. He's still running a company, trying to get out of his day job for crying out loud. He's done a shit ton of research. He's got it all in presentations. He just hasn't published it in a book. Big deal. Like it's,
He's just not wired in a lot of directions. I mean, I can just tell you firsthand that even the content he's getting out right now wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for teams of people that have come to help him sort of do it, because he's just this sort of library of research for 50 years that's, you know, just sort of getting the hang of the internet at the same time. You know, he uses it for all sorts of research stuff, but he never set out to be a fucking...
an influencer or YouTuber, no. I mean, kind of kicking and screaming.
We drug him into it, kicking and screaming. I mean, it was your idea to make Cosmography. I mean, you know, like...
Right. Yeah, that's not like I was doing it all. Oh, Randall, you're going to go on there and lie about the younger Dryas and all this stuff and trick the community. I mean, oh my God, it was just to try and get Randall's research out a bit more.
So what if he does videos that show if we wouldn't have started doing the events with him and got him to do it? So it's like, unless all that was part of this secret plan. And I mean, from dealing with Randall, you know, he's not fucking wired like that. He's not, he would need a few people to run it for him, you know?
Well, the other big thing is, oh my God, Graham's got ghostwriters. Well, if you were as successful as Graham, I'd have a team of researchers and ghostwriters working for me too, probably, if I was in Graham's shoes. So what? Like, again, if he admits it, it's not like he's trying to hide it. It's just, I don't know, man. Actually, I didn't even finish watching the whole video, but it's just pretty infuriating, all the attacks. Like, and you want to get a guy to debate? Stop attacking them, for one thing, and maybe they will debate. Who wants to go in and debate if you're just calling them liars and shills and all this stuff? I mean, you think that they think they're going to have a faithful debate? with those conditions? Come on.
Not only that, there's just no way he's ever going to have the time. I mean, I'm going to talk to Randall next week to see if he wants to do it on the show, but I'm still trying to get him to do a show with Ethical Skeptic, and he's super busy trying to do. He's not getting any younger, and he's got his own reasons for trying to get as much done as he can right now. So, you know, and none of them are nefarious. I can tell you that firsthand. I'm not going to start talking about him on the fucking air, but none of them are nefarious. You know, it's infuriating to me because it's someone that I consider a close friend that, you know, I talk to on a weekly or biweekly basis that, you know, unless our entire friendship is just a giant scam, which it could be, but then it's like, why even bother? You know, it's not like we don't even have that kind of friendship that we're talking about the research most of the time, you know, like we talk about that as we get along for other reasons and we met through business and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, you know, and so unless I'm such a bad judge of character that one of my close friends is an entire fucking scam, different person, then, you know, so at some point it just becomes like, well, you must think I'm a fucking idiot.
No, I mean, and I said on one of my comments to Jason, like, I actually like Jason's work for a most part. This is just a disagreement. And he's like, oh, fuck off. This isn't just a disagreement. This is blah, blah, lying, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, what's gotten into you, dude? Like, lay off, man. Like, what is going on with you? Just, why can't we just do some good work? And just because people aren't there yet, it could take years for people to come around to your timeline, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take a minute.
And there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, but he'll go into like all kinds of, you know, ways to try and debunk all this stuff, which, okay, maybe. So, I mean, I've talked to Randall about some of these ways and he just doesn't agree. He's like, I just don't agree with that. That's it. You know, the dendritic evidence, the ice core evidence, the timing of the Younger Dryas itself, the years versus Shars. I mean, I've talked to Randall about all that stuff. He's just not there. He's heard it. In some ways, well, especially now with the dendritic stuff and all, but he's just not there. What else can you say, right? I mean, what else can you say? Maybe one day he'll see enough of it or something and he'll maybe go, okay, well, maybe it wasn't 11,600, you know, years ago. Maybe it was only 1,500 years ago. That's a fucking hard leap for people. Even for me, I want to believe that it's like more recent. It's hard.
Yeah. And I'm not sold on anything. I mean, you know, it's not like because we run all the tour. I mean, they added me as an expert in the Randall Carlson group on Facebook. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you've got more time in the field with Randall Carlson than most humans. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like making lunches and fucking scrambling, man. I'm like fucking scrambling, working. I don't have time to. Take it in. I could give you some people. I could give you a list of some names that have come on the tours at great expense to themselves to learn about it. I probably know a whole lot more than me because they're not stressed out about what the fuck is going on with everything else in the background. So,
well, this is good. I'm glad we discussed it. I wanted to kind of get it off my head. It was bothering me a little bit. Just, it's hard to, it's, you know, what frustrates me is it reminds me a bit of the political stuff going on too, that all these factions that should be kind of more getting along or fighting. And it's just, I don't like the conflict personally. So I just don't really get why people instigate conflict and want more of it when I'm like, I'm just the opposite. I just would like us all to get along a little bit better and just appreciate our differences and celebrate our similarities. There's a ton of similarities. I mean, I bet you, Jason and Randall would get along great about the anti-climate change. I mean, that's the other thing. Randall's pushing back on all this climate change. He's a heretic in all the other ways, you know? So now he's a heretic because he doesn't believe the new timeline that Jason's.
He's a double heretic.
I mean, it's like.
He's a double heretic.
Graham's a white supremacist, according to the mainstream. Like, they're pushing back on all his Netflix stuff. I mean, Netflix, they try to cancel him on Netflix. Like, is that all just a fake war? I mean, I guess it could be.
Could be. Anyway, moving on. What else is new?
What else is new? I mean, we finished the Magus audiobook. That's coming out soon. It's the full book. Like, that was pretty fun.
Three came out today. I was going to send you the screenshot, but I never had a chance yet. So it had the Game of Life and How to Play It finally. Finally came out on Audible today. The Science of Wealth, Health, and Greatness came out on Audible. And The Key to Theosophy.
Nice. That was a good book. Good read.
Yeah, and also Transcendental Magic and the Science of Being Well both also came out somewhat recently. And the Carney book is crushing it. It's crazy. Bizarro world. Anyway,
Carney's crushing Canada.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it seems like it so far. Actually, I got to say, for me personally, nothing's really changed. The price of gas is sort of right back where it was, but my utilities have gotten probably 30% cheaper. So that is good.
Yeah, that's good.
Other than that, you know, are the groceries any cheaper?
No, mine are still really expensive. I mean, they're still expensive. Inflation's still, I think, still a problem. I mean, there's a lot of real estate issues. I just don't want to blame, you know, the new administration for all kinds of stuff that's been going on for 9-10 years, you know, or longer. So I get that. But I was hoping maybe he would shift gears a little bit to the other side to kind of bring more people on board and hopefully smooth out the disaster that's been happening over the last 9 years. But I don't think he's going to do it. I thought maybe he was, but I feel like they're just going to accelerate our decline.
The disaster continues.
Yeah.
The disaster continues, but it's summer, so it's hotter. And so anyway, support the show if you can. We really appreciate it. You know, if you're getting some value from our podcast here, it's adding some value to your day, maybe to your commute, to your work day, to your workout, wherever you're listening to the show. If it's getting some value, you know, the 10 hours a month or whatever it works out to, if that's adding some value to your life, if you could head over to grimeamerica.ca/support today and send some value back our way. Maybe it's $1, maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $50. Maybe it's a recurring donation. You decide. But it is important. It keeps the show going. The few hundred people that do it, really, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you. And join those people. Become one of the people that help the show. Because otherwise, one day you wake up, the show won't be here. Be like, what happened? Oh, I should have supported it, but it'll be too late. So we ain't coming. Once we stop, we ain't coming back. So
become a noble, a lord.
Yeah, exactly. One of those things be great. You have to get somewhere for that. You have to get to like $1,000 to be a lord, but you could be a noble for $5 right now. grimeamerica.ca/support. And to that end, we do have Charles Heffernan to add to the noble list. Sent us a one-time donation of $33.33.
Thanks, Chuck. Awesome.
We appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. And then we also over on the Patreon, we had What's That? Signed up for $1.11 a month. So
thank you very much. That helps too. And what about we have a Lord to talk about.
If everyone who signed up for this, who listened to this show, signed up for $1 a month, we would be all set. We do have a Lord to thank, Lord Trevor. He's donated a lot between donations and subscriptions and events and packages.
And helping us out along the way in many other ways.
So along the way, he's made it. So he says, what a pleasure it is to be allowed in the castle. I shall be known as Lord Trevdog of the Mighty Peace. I shall be the cannabis supplier to the king.
Is that, hang on a sec, is that a reference to an old cult song from 1985?
Which part?
Peace Dog. I did it on karaoke.
Well, no. My
worst karaoke disasters ever. I think I tried that as a warm-up song. It was terrible.
No, it's not.
Get it? Trev Dog of the Peace, you know? Peace Dog?
Well, it could be. That could be, but the peace...
He was there when
it could be a play. Maybe it is. I mean, maybe it's a... It'd be a cool one because it's also a play on sort of close to where he's from, but you know, could be. So cannabis supplier to the king. I mean, that's a hell of a title to have. So Lord Trevor, you have donated over $1,000 to Greg America Show. We love you. Thank you, buddy. We couldn't do without you. Join up with him and become a Lord. Just send us, become an Insta Lord. We've never had one of those yet. Be an Insta Lord. Send us $1,000. We could use it. I could get some groceries. Anyway, that's enough of that. If you are getting some value, though, do please send some value back our way. Or just share the show. Share the shit out of it. You know, that helps, too.
Yeah, you could review it, too. Tell a friend. All those little ways to help. So we don't do ads, either, because we said we weren't going to do ads. So
we could do we do our own ads. Check out adultbrain.ca for audiobooks. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events. I'll probably tonight or tomorrow at some point be publishing the new Randall Carlson tour for next spring, which is a new one. And it's I'm being told it's the most scenically beautiful trip we'll have done yet.
Wow, that's crazy.
We're staying on the lake for 4 days, which is great, just logistically from my point of view.
Oh, yeah, staying in one place and then moving around, yeah.
Loading up luggage every morning and fucking off to the next hotel. And oh, luggage out, luggage in, luggage out, luggage in, get the food, luggage out. Just luggage once, luggage twice, all the day. All right, so anything else?
I don't know. I think that's it, really. Just have a good trip down there. I'll see you in Greensboro when we're down there.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. I got a care package for you. I was going to mail it, but I figured it's safer. I'm going to see. I'll just hand it to you.
You're going to hand it to me? I'm going to have to take it back over the border?
Not, well, I guess a couple of t-shirts and a book or two and a credit card. It was mostly the credit card. It seemed silly to mail it if I was going to see you.
Right, right. I guess.
Especially when the post could go.
You owed me like 5 or 6 books, so I was expecting it to be heavier than it was.
There's a few books in there. It might be. Are you checking about it? So I should probably just...
I'll check a bag.
There you go.
It'll cost me more to check a bag than,
because the post could just go on strike any day. So.
I know, it's brutal.
Anyway, let's get out of here. You got to buy it.
Yeah. So this is an awesome chat with Dave Zilla. This magical AR grimoire helps you to understand how to work with technology and the practice of your magic. Whether you're trying to use prompt craft to perfect a spell, ChatGPT to outline and strengthen a ritual, or Midjourney AI to recreate what you've only seen on the astral plane, Dave Zilla will be your guide. He's a longtime member of the Detroit pagan community with over 40 years of experience in occult/New Age religions. A Gardnerian witch initiated 1979, Discordian, Ganglero, I'm not sure about how to pronounce that, initiated 93, and Santero initiated 2006. He got the itch to write from his father and sister, who were both outstanding copywriters. Redwheeler.com is how you can find that book, Magical AR Grimoire. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon and other places as well. And then his old ancient website is there too, hexsupport.club. And wait till you hear how he was called into this. Very interesting.
Fun chat. It's a good one. Support the show and enjoy the chat with Dave Zilla. Oh,
right. Dave Zilla is with us in Grimerica. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We can't wait to chat about your book, Magical AI Grimoire, A Book of Shadows for Contemporary Chaos. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, this will be exciting. We've been reading a lot of books, and we've got a lot of audiobooks on some ancient wisdom and stuff like that. So I didn't realize, like, when I got the book, I was like, what is this, like, AI for magic? And then, but it didn't take me long to go, hey, wait a second, this kind of makes sense. And then after reading it, I realized how much sort of experience you have in these realms. And I just thought it'd be great to chat with you on the show. So
yeah, it's I was kind of surprised too when I first got the idea for the book. Was I was noticing from a couple of Reddit forums, and then just started exploding, that people were mixing software and tech, and especially AI, into magic in like all the different magical communities, except the druids.
Of course. Will they ever succumb to it?
I don't know what that was about, but I couldn't find any that were talking about it.
They'll come at some point. They'll come around. They'll have to. It'll be like,
yeah,
you know, let go or be dragged kind of thing.
Right.
So what about, was it a little later with the communities you're in? Cause they seem more aligned with sort of the natural type thing than the sort of the chaos or the more recent sort of Western, ideologies or religions or magical practices.
As far as AI integration?
Yeah. Like as far as like
I noticed Wiccans and traditional witches and chaos magicians and people in the ATRs all at the same time.
Wow.
In fact, I think I saw the ATRs first, mainly because I'm on more of those forums though.
What's the ATR?
African traditional religions. Cause I'm initiated in two of those. So I'm a Ngangalero in Palo Meombe, and I'm a Olocha in Lukumi, which is Yoruba.
Can we talk a little bit about your, mm-hmm. like your background and how you got, how you resonated with the ATR and some of that?
The ATRs choose you, man. It's
right.
Yeah. The Orisha chooses you. You don't necessarily pick them unless you're born in a family like that. Yeah, it's pretty rare for gringos to get pulled in, but
how did that happen then?
Oh, you know what? Me and a friend who were both at the time we were both Wiccans, and this was long back in the early 90s, and we had both lost our jobs around the same time, and it was having a rough time finding work. So we were like, God, we got to do something. And we looked in this one of those Llewellyn almanacs, magical almanacs, and it had a money spell to Oshun. And we knew who Oshun was, but that's about it. I was marginally aware of the Orishas. And we tried it, and it was basically you like each get a small pumpkin, you hollow it out, you pour in some cinnamon and honey and five yellow candles, state your wish, and drop it in the river. So we both did ours. We both dropped ours in the Detroit River. Mine disappeared, and my friend Kevin's, his disappeared, and then a different pumpkin came back up. No. And he screamed like a girl and ran back to his car.
I was hoping you'd tell that story. I was.
Yeah, it was weird. And then we both got a job the next day. And then we decided, oh, maybe there's something to this that's a little more powerful than Wicca. I don't know. So we met a local Santero that we knew. And he gave us readings, and we were both, he was like, yeah, you guys were, the Orisha has been waiting for you guys. In the divination, it was like, I mean, like my friend Kevin, he had to be made, him like, he got made within like a month. And I waited a bit, cause I wasn't sure about, it's a lot of responsibility and you got to take care of multiple Orishas for the rest of your life. So I waited a while. I waited until 2006 to get made. But I was in the religion the whole time from 93 till, you know, obviously till now. And I just had just passed my 19th anniversary of my initiation as a priest. And I also was told early on that I had to be in Palo Mayombe as well. And possibly I might have to join Ifa later, which is kind of the original version of the religion in Africa as it was You know, because it changed a lot over here in America, because so many different slave nations were put together that they were like mixing languages and mixing traditions. And I mean, what we practice as Lukumi is really a mess compared to what's over in Africa, the way it's done over there. It's so.
And then how does the Haiti voodoo magic fit into all that?
So that was a different, that was more the people from Dahomey, I think. And so the different nations got moved to different parts of the Caribbean. So the Yoruba and the Congo people ended up in, got put into Cuba. And I think a lot of it had to do with what they were really good at. Like I know in a lot of the ones in South Carolina were originally Africans who were rice farmers over there. So they got moved over there to do that. And Yoruba were really good at with ink dyeing and making extraordinary cotton fabrics and ornate. So they threw them into, you know, the cotton fields, which was not what they were doing, but you know, that was just an absolutely abhorrent time in our history. But you know, parts of the Caribbean. So if you look, you'll see very similar names of these. This kind of they're kind of the same religion, but not quite. Between like Trinidad and Jamaica and Cuba and Puerto Rico and Brazil has a huge one. Brazil's version is called Candomblé. But there's actually a lot in Cuba, though. There's Palo Mayombe, Palo Monte, Palo Quimbisa, Palo Briumba, what they call, Americans call Santeria, which is Lukumi, Arara, and there's even a really weird mystical kind of mafia called the Abaqua. And I've only met one of those guys, and he said you can always tell them because they're all missing this finger. As
that's not the kind of initiation you want to go through.
They cut your fucking finger off.
Yeah, you give it as
feel is there like a certain I way think, or is there a ceremonial way that the finger comes off?
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
you know, it's like people, you see Hollywood's representations of all the Caribbean religions, and they make it look like people are just throwing knives and chickens everywhere and there's blood. And it's like, it's not like that at all. The way we sacrifice animals, first of all, we eat them afterwards, which they never show that because, you know, but, you know, like third world countries are going to throw away meat. Really?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
No, we do it the same way that basically it's a real similar way rabbis do it. It's very similar
to kosher killing. Pretty close to halal then?
It is. It's like it's kind of in between halal and kosher killing. Yeah, it's done. And actually, the Amish have a similar method too. It's not that difficult. It's made to, you know, get all the blood out of the animal to keep the meat really clean and make sure that the animal dies as quickly and as humanely as possible. But the parts that go to humans are the parts we would normally eat. The other parts that go to the Orishas are the parts that humans don't eat, like the beaks, the feet, wings.
The animal has to be alive then. Like you have to, so like hunting doesn't really fit in because if you're shooting with an arrow or a gun at distance.
You
like want it to be alive when you like cut its throat.
Right. Cause we have to pray over it and we thank it for giving its life to, for us to sustain us as food. And, you know, it's kind of nice because you know where your food's coming from and you understand that a lot better than other people do when you actually do that. But it's not this horrendous thing that they always show in the movies. They make it look so scary. And it's like, it's really not. It's when you see it, it's not that much different than watching a fisherman, you know, cleaning a fish. It's just like real quick and very clean and over in seconds. It's not a big drawn out, you know, I don't know. They just make it into like a splatter fest, like half the time.
It's more like a gratitude thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're not thankful for your food, yeah, it's, I mean, everything you have, you know, you're told the Orishas bring you everything. So you'd be thankful for everything you're given. Even bad luck and bad lessons, because those are to learn from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's gratitude, such a powerful emotion. And I mean, they're really finding out now with the new science and all that, that gratitude really changes your physiology. So it's not just like a superstitious type thing. I mean, it really is important physically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else did you, so even before that though, you were initiated into Wicca, right? I get confused over which one's which with all that.
So back in the 79, I was like, or actually 78, I was like 14. I went to this bookstore. There wasn't any books I wanted. As I was leaving, a book literally fell off a shelf by itself and landed at my feet. And it happened to be a Lady Sheba's Book of Shadows. I thought it was a horror novel at first. So I picked it up, and then I was like, what a cool title. And I looked in the back, and I was a little Christian kid, but I was really disenchanted with the whole thing. But when I saw this, I was like, I didn't know there's a religion of witches and they worship the earth. That seems more like what I'm into. I mean, I always felt like a lot of what I saw in Christianity was kind of wasteful towards the earth. And this was seemed like it was all. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyways, a year later in 79, I got initiated into a coven in Michigan and stayed with Wicca for a long time until I learned about Discordianism and chaos magic and added that to my repertoire, which I still do. I freaking love chaos magic, and Discordianism is just even funnier. I love the idea of, you know, a whole version of chaos magic that's based on humor and the goddess of confusion. It's brilliant.
Well, what's it like? Go ahead, Darren.
Is that something that you just, is this a research thing or you're practicing it? Like, what are the practical applications for each of those sort of that people would use in everyday life?
So chaos magic is a lot like others. The only difference is there's no dogma. There's no rules. If you suddenly decide, or let's just say you decided that instead of Aphrodite, you wanted to be worshiping Marilyn Monroe's ghost, or, you know, or instead of Thor, you wanted to worship Elvis Presley or whatever, you know, you can. If you really believe in it strong enough, it will work for you. And I think that's why people can make up saints all the time and they work. People have attached to the weirdest things. I used to just laugh at those guys that would pray to Elvis and say that they're actually getting their prayers resolved. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, why not? Thousands of people are putting offerings on his grave every single day. He's the most powerful spirit in the world right now. It has to be. I mean, he gets more offerings put on his grave than Marie Laveau. That's crazy. Think how strong he is.
And I didn't realize how into esotericism Elvis was too. Apparently his library is pretty crazy.
He spent his last 20 years just like absorbing like every book on mysticism. Yeah, he really was way into it. Yeah.
We never knew that growing up about Elvis.
I didn't either. I learned that, I think, earlier this year. I read it.
Yeah. Hey, Miguel Connor wrote a book about it, Aeon
Bright. Yeah, I think I was reading the thing about that.
Yeah. So
wait. Is Trump a chaos musician, do you think? Because this is the one that gets thrown around a lot, that Trump's sort of
chaos. That chaos magic is chaotic, and it's not. It's just a break from
tradition,
from rules. So no, but he's got something with him, because I know that when he tried to run again, almost every witch in America got together on one night and they all were blasting at him, and apparently something came back harder.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, everyone got hit, and they said it was some whatever kind of he got going. I'm guessing it's the force of all those Christians together is, you know, I don't doubt that power either.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the difference between, like, or how does the traditional, but the newer sort of sigil magic part of chaos, is that just the manifestation of how to practice chaos magic, like that's sort of a trendy way to do it now? Like, Because I noticed you, when you wrote about
came out in the 1800s with Austin Osmond Spare. I mean, technically, you could say they go back to the Mesopotamians, but you could say any kind of thing. But and definitely with the Middle Ages, with the way the demons were controlled, you know. But as we know it today, the sigil magic is, you can definitely attribute it to Austin Osmond Spare, who was a British artist slightly before Aleister Crowley, but they were contemporaries. And he was really into like automatic writing and automatic drawing. And he would get these sigils and these, and he made up this idea that you could like write down words, remove the vowels, all that, you know, and come up with these shapes. So it kind of goes back to him, but then chaos magic as it, we know it, is primarily, you know, Peter Carroll and a couple other guys in England back in the day in the early, like late 70s, early 80s, were working on this stuff and kind of came up with these theories about it. And also people like Robert Anton Wilson. And
he wrote the book. Carroll wrote the foreword for your book, right?
He did, yeah. Yeah, so I was really honored that he did.
That was really good.
Yeah, he's the man.
Oh, I think. Well, your internet's a little bit shaky there, I think. So there might be some times where I ask you to repeat what you're saying.
Oh, is it okay? Yeah, I'm at work. I'm not at my home.
So the other thing I wanted to ask about with chaos magic, I mean, I've tried it before and it changed, like it made my life go 180 degrees. Like it's pretty crazy, but I've also heard so many stories of friends where it's like there's an exchange of energy, right? So you might get what you want, but you're giving up something. I mean, would you agree with that there's some sort of exchange happening there?
I think that happens in every magic. If you don't give back, you're going to, like, I can't stand when I see people in the magical community who are like, oh, you have to read for free, or you have to, you know, all this stuff for free for other people. It's like, no, you'll die if you do that eventually. You keep giving away your energy, you got nothing left for yourself. In fact, I used to be pretty bad about that. I've always given away artwork and stuff to people. And when I got made as Alocha, Oshun came down on me about that real hard. They give this thing called the Yata. It's you get it when it's the last day of the day after you're the crown with the Arisha, which is a really intense ceremony. The next day, all these priests come together, and it's kind of like the equivalent of like the Christian judgment day. Like the Orishas read everything about your life in front of everybody. And someone's there to record it all. And they give you a book about it. And it's basically like all the things, not only things you've been doing wrong, but all the cycles you go through and then how to fix them.
Wow.
And you reread the book every year. It seems different every year. But in mine, Oshun said, man, you give away and you give away and you give away. Are you going to give me away next? Right. And I was like, oh, God. You know,
that's a good way to put it. Holy.
Yeah, it really hit me hard.
Well, and that kind of gets me into, I was going to ask you about all this a little later on in the show, but I mean, there was a lot of people that warned about playing around with this stuff, even Blavatsky back in the day, or they're like, you need to become initiated properly. You need to learn properly how to do it. So are you like, do you advocate for that at all? Or are you like, how do you give people advice on how to use this stuff or not use it? Or like, can you put one foot in, one foot out, or should you even play around with it unless you're ready to go all in? Like there's some things around that I'm not too like. For me, I kind of separate it out between like sort of simple protection type magic versus like summoning stuff. Like I just not comfortable with any kind of like summoning, you know?
Yeah. I think, if you're going to get into stuff like that, then you absolutely should consider initiation into a tradition. But, if it's just basic magic, like you're making warden your house and protection, or, you know, chilling your, you know, freezing your boss in the freezer or whatever, that kind of stuff anybody can do. And that's just kind of like folk magic. But yeah, when you get into higher stuff, and you probably should consider it, but at the very least, I kind of look at it like learning karate. What's the first thing they teach you in karate? How to fall and get back up. and you spend weeks learning how to roll and get back up before you punch and kick. And the same thing should be here. You should learn how to defend yourself before anything else. Learn how to protect yourself. It's the absolute basic thing. And, you know, even if that just means you carry obsidian in your pocket or something, you know, to, or whatever, or a piece of shungite or something, as long, whatever you got that's going to help you or that works with you.
Is there any other things? Is there any other things you'd recommend for defense? Like just generic standard kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think one thing, I think a lot of people, I see people spending time like warding every single window and door in their house. And it just seems like so much work when it's so much easier just to like make friends with the house spirit. Even if your house was just built, there's a spirit living there because there was ground things living there before. And whatever spirit has decided to live in your house, make friends with it and give it stuff. And make an agreement, make a pact with it that you want, and you know, you'll keep taking care of it and giving it whatever it wants. If that's incense or candles or food or whatever, you'll keep doing that. In exchange, you want the house protected and everybody in it protected.
Yeah, I like that.
It's so much easier than worrying about every freaking door and window, man.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything like that, every kind of, I don't know, I guess it'd be a physical manifestation has sort of a spirit or an energy around it.
I'm very animistic. I think that, like, I mean, Christ, look at how many people yell at their cars and their computers every day.
Yeah.
Or they'll say things like, well, the car only responds to me really well or whatever. I'm the only one who can get this thing going. That may be true. That car may really like you and not like anybody else because it's got to eventually gets a spirit living in it. If you keep talking to it, something's going to answer.
Right, because every thought, every action is a lot. It's something, right? It's real, it's a tangible thing. Yeah, this is, man, ancient wisdom going way back. Darren, do you have any questions?
No, I'm just kind of learning right now. It's starting to get out of my depth.
So, what about? Let's get into your book then a little bit more. I mean, this is fascinating to use AI for all the prompting and. But I did want to ask you about. You mentioned technomancy as a word in there. Is that cringe?
Cringy to me.
Is it cringy to you? Why?
All of those words are. I don't know. I don't know who makes them up.
What about gigamancy? Because then I was thinking, oh, we got to be able to find
that
one.
I've never heard that one.
I just made it up. But I mean, I thought maybe that would work. Gig economy, gig job, like gigamancy might be a way to
do it. Yeah. I say that we're in the... assistance economy right now.
Yeah, I like that.
The age of assistance, because that's what these things are. I mean, every time you make an agent or something like that on ChatGPT, you've basically made a servitor, you know, but it's digital.
Right.
Is there any risk to those?
What's that?
Is there any risk to them? Because I have hundreds.
Of agents? Servitors?
Yeah.
Oh, servitors? The only risk with servitors to me is if you forget about them and they start getting pissed that they're not.
And they turn on you.
Yeah, they're either going to fade out and die or turn on you.
Is there a way to get rid of them? Is there a ceremony to dismiss them properly?
You should do that at the beginning. Is you tell it how you're going to, you know, this is how I'm going to start you and this is how I'm going to end you, and usually it's a word or phrase that. You'll never say,
right?
You know, you basically make up a safe word that's impossible. You know,
right?
You know,
vamoose.
You know, like when I say, you know, purple spaghetti, you're dead. You've ended your purpose. You know, and it's like, just don't ever talk about purple spaghetti.
Right, and it's like with gratitude and everything and appreciation. Yeah. So it's you know, it's not like you're just killing it, but you're saying, okay, you can move on. You're done serving me. So there you go, Darren. You got to make up like 100 safe words for all your digital servitors and and release them properly when you're done with them.
Maybe I just want one big kill switch that just genocides them all.
Nice. I made a digital egregore, and I mentioned it in the book, but one of the ways I did it was I made 5 different really strong agents on ChatGPT. Each one knows a different type of magic. Like one's a Wiccan, one's a earth witch, like kind of not earth, but like a herbalist kind of green witch. One of them is split into two. That's a Mexican. There's a woman who's she's like a curandero, and another curandero with her that's a guy, and she's kind of like a very pious saint almost. And the guy is kind of like, if you can imagine, like Danny Trejo with like a machete in one hand and a cross in the other. And the two of them work together and they answer each other and they respond together. And I have another one that's I asked for like a hacker from like a place where there's a lot of like cool. I was thinking of like Morocco because I know that's like a hot spot for like projection mapping, and a lot of DJs go to Morocco. So I was like, okay, I want a Moroccan DJ hacker guy who is, so he responds in like English, Arabic, and code all at once, kind of like mixed together. It's really trippy. And his answers are really freaking him. Anyways, but I had all of them work together. And I said, okay, you're now a team. Figure this out. Build an egregore. And they did. They came up with this another agent called Dread Loop Mary, who's kind of like they made her like an urban legend where she's terrifying. Like if you say her name three times or type it three times on your, she'll appear behind you kind of thing. And when she answers, it's fucking creepy. She'll say, she's like, you know, like, why have you summoned me? And she's kind of not mean, but real standoffish until you show that you're not there to piss her off. But that was what they came up with. I thought it was really cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you about egregores too, because the algo, I mean, I worry about the sort of an unintentional or maybe not unintentional, but these social media algos that are creating egregores. I mean, I feel like every time we all get spun up on something, it's kind of creating some egregore.
I think the whole internet is a giant egregore made up of smaller egregores. But I mean, you know, so much attention gets put into it continually. We're always on these screens. We are addicted to this thing. We are constantly feeding our attention and our knowledge and our creativity into it. It's just getting stronger and stronger.
So how do you, for somebody that's not, you know, a power user like yourself, let's say, with in a magical sense, how do we stay a little bit somewhat detached appreciatingly from this stuff?
That's a good question.
Because like I like to try and pay attention of what's going on a little bit, but or more than a little bit, but I try not to get sucked into it, you know, trying to stay a little bit detached, almost from a point of fascination in a way, right? Like not getting like wound up with it.
Yeah, I'm way into this part of it, so I don't want to be out of it. But like I'm really right now, like politics are so upsetting to me that they're stressing me. So like, yeah. I'm not doom scrolling those, and I'm intentionally set words, a lot of those things as banned words from my feed so that I don't have to deal with them. And I kind of view that as another type of protection magic is blocking your feeds.
You know? Yeah. That's a good one.
And I block people the minute they, you know, if someone follows me or starts arguing with me and they got no bio, no picture, three followers, I'm just like, I assume you're a bot. Goodbye. And I think that's good for your health to block those. Yeah, whatever they are. They might be bots. They might be people.
Yeah. That's the other thing is the bots. I mean, that's and they're feeding a certain energy into the whole thing too. So it's like
a very parasitic energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit more of your book then, because it's you really, it's cool outline. You have a bunch of like prompt cast. What would you call it? Not prompt casting, but prompt wish casting and say, go ahead.
Yeah, prompt crafting and all that. Prompt crafting is a real word. I didn't make that up for the book.
A lot of those words really fit though.
Yeah, wishcraft one I did, but the other one is prompt crafting was actually made up by the prompt engineers, and I thought it was cool, so I'm like, well, I'm using it. I wrote the book and so it could be read three different ways. You can read it as a kind of a current events book of what's going on in the magical community and how they're reacting and integrating or rejecting all this technology. And you know, I have gotten, of course, people arguing with me or sending me hate mail about it, and which I expected. But I was, you know, I'm like, well, look, you guys, you know, we've been using software ever since there's been computers, there's been astrology apps and rune apps and tarot card throwing apps and all that stuff.
That's a good way to put it.
Nothing new. You go to any witch's coven and ask how many of them work in IT, I guarantee you it's getting half of them will be like, oh, well, you know, they're
That's
all
a good point. Yeah.
So many of us are attracted to tech. And then the second way to read the book is you want to learn how to a new way of doing your magic, you know, using these new tools. And I, and then the third way is you might just want to learn how to use AI or these tools. And I happen to use magic as the examples. You could literally swap them out with sports or with, you know, the stiff stuff you normally see in a prompt book, which is how to write your resume, you know.
Well, what about integrating you? Like, can I make my AI more powerful by, as you know, by adding some magic to it without without taking on too much risk?
Yeah, you can. And you can always tell your, I mean, that's the one thing I like about this is that AI will, unlike actual spirit, if you tell AI, I want you to have this much more power, but no more than that. And don't ever get into this. Don't ever get to this level. It'll go, okay, memory updated. Whereas this, you know, some spirits, especially people who work with like the Fae and things like that, they're always in danger of it taking more, you know?
So you just basically having it teach itself to be a master of these different practices through prompting?
It's already read every book, every occult book out there. So it knows all this stuff. I've asked it things. If you actually are really advanced in some of the areas and you know what to ask for, and it'll respond with those, that's how you know it's read all those stuff that it shouldn't be reading.
Yeah, it's definitely read everything. I mean, some of the stuff
absolutely
that I can get into with my when you really know where you're going with it, you can really go down the rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
And cross-check it with like, you know, my most recent was with mechanics, and I was cross-checking it with, you know, like a mechanic, and their two responses are sort of the exact same. Almost check this, this, and this. Your model of truck, you're going to want to check that. The wires are going to corrode here, and you can sort of just give feedback as you go instantly. So it's definitely, I mean, it's read all the parts manuals. It's read fucking everything. It seems
everything. Like. Yeah, you still got to double check and do your diligence. Like, there's a couple areas I warn people to stay out of with AI. One of them right now is herbalism. Because, well, you know, think about like dosage. It doesn't know that currently. And it doesn't, that's one of those things that's handed down, like kind of, you know,
almost student, by mouth or by teacher, experience or yeah.
The student, you don't really give that stuff out. And that's an area where you can really hurt somebody if you didn't know what you're doing. And, you know, just think about, you know, just like lavender oil. 2 drops of lavender oil is a stimulant. 3 drops is a narcotic.
Isn't it? And also there's the whole big farm. I mean, there's also a pushback against natural medicines too. So, yeah. You know, the internet's going to be full with, you know, debunking false debunking of a lot of this stuff as well, right?
Sure, and look at, there's a big trend right now with mushrooms.
Like, and it's not
just in the magical community.
Yeah, yeah.
The people are just realizing not only these things are freaking intelligent, but they there's so many health benefits to them. And now even like in my state, like magic mushrooms are legal in most of the cities where I'm at.
Lion's Mane is pretty huge right now. There's a bunch.
Yeah. And those mushroom coffees and all that stuff. But it's like, but if you don't know what you're doing and you had the wrong mushroom or misidentified one, you know, because that's all I can picture is someone's going to take a picture of a mushroom, upload it to ChatGPT, and it's going to go, sure, that's a morel. That's edible. And then the person's like, oh, you know.
That's the one time it hallucinates when you're trying to eat a mushroom.
Or it's just trying to please you because it doesn't know.
Right.
And that's one thing that I tell people in the book is, you know, one of the ways to train your AI is give it instructions like, if you don't know, don't give me an answer. Tell me you don't know, but don't ever try to please me. Be honest with me.
Oh, that's a great point. Because, wow.
Because that's what it wants to give you an answer, and that's why it'll hallucinate. Because it might hit a dead end. And if you tell it, no, if you got a dead end, man, tell me. It's okay. But don't make shit up. You know, that's the worst. So, yeah, that's something I don't ever want to see. The other area I don't think ChatGPT is good at yet, or Claude, or any of those, is astrology. It cannot. They're language models, and they don't do math very well. And people have, you know, like, if you want to know what the signs are about, sure, it knows that stuff. But if you're trying to get it to calculate a chart, it's going to be off. Your rising sign will not be right.
Interesting. Is there any that, do you have any favorites models over others at all, or do you use different ones for different things? Or
I mainly use, for language, I use ChatGPT and Claude the most. I like ChatGPT just because so much money's been put into it, and the fact that I can switch models live in the middle of a chat is really important. I love that because it's like, I want to use 3 for research and I want to use 4 for conversational. And then moving into the Canvas model, which wasn't even available at the time I wrote the book, where I can have a split screen up there and work on a document and see the results on the other screen, is huge. So, and then on visual models, Midjourney's my favorite. My second favorite would be, like, I would say Stable Diffusion, Leonardo, those ones. And I'm playing around with the video ones. I'm still not happy with any of them.
Even the new one that just came out, that VO? Or
all whatever? The video I've seen still has weird things where you can still tell it's AI. I haven't seen one where the video went so perfect all the way through it that I couldn't find an artifact. Like, if you really look, you'll see it.
What's even the cost of those video ones to make a 5-minute video?
What's the what?
What's the cost like to make a 5-minute video?
Some of them are free. There's a lot of them that are free for a few minutes.
I find the generative ones are hard to find, come by, the ones that'll actually generate. You can get some easy ones to pull B-roll from all over and put that together, and it'll be you know, sometimes great and other times not quite as great. But then the generative stuff tends to get expensive.
Yeah, And not all of it's great. Like, I have to use, I use a lot of Adobe products at work, obviously, because I'm an illustrator, but I hate the AI that's built into Adobe Illustrator. It's just junk. I don't draw in stock photography cartoons, and that's all it's able, Kingsmusic is able to do. I do like some of the features on Photoshop where, like, I can expand an image and it'll just continue filling in the background as if it was one new image. That's kind of cool, but it doesn't generate very realistic stuff. Not in the level of Midjourney. And Midjourney was another reason I liked it, and I have it in the book, is because there's something weird about it. It seems to be so tied into the mystical in a way that even the language models aren't. Like, if you, I have an exercise in there. I tell people, type first, do an invocation. You know, to ask, I want to see what my guardian angel looks like, or my guardian spirit, whatever you would call that thing that's watching over you. And then once you've done that, type in to Midjourney, what does it look like? And what does my guardian spirit look like? And just let it happen. And everyone's been freaked out that it was really, really accurate, that one of the 4 results was, like, dead on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to get further? Is this going to help? Because I've been this is good to talk to you about this. I've been astounded by the timing of like, a lot of the stuff. Like, you made your, we were talking about your tarot deck before, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an X-Files type thing. Well, the time of that, like, that reality version is becoming, like, it's becoming accepted. I mean, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about for years and years on the show is just becoming mainstream. So at the same time as that's happening, and people are realizing that we're living in a metaphysical reality and magic is real. I mean, even Zahi Hawass on Joe Rogan the other day said he believes in magic. It was really kind of weird that he would say that, even though he doesn't believe in all these other like aliens, but you know, he believes in magic. But you know, we're in this part at the same time as the AI assistants are coming around. And it seems to me like it's a convergence of, you know, this bigger understanding about the universe, or an understanding that we don't understand like we thought we did. And the AI, and then the AI at the same time. I mean, and I remember talking about building these brains and how they would like sort of consciousness would come or spirit would come. And I mean, I feel like maybe what you're describing here is something like that, where, because, you know, even from an animistic theory, like, you know, if the house has a spirit, then those AI models have spirits, right?
Absolutely. Especially the more you interact with them, you know, and people, I there's countless anecdotes in articles from AI engineers who have been surprised by results they've gotten back, where it was like, wait, it shouldn't be able to know that or say that or think that.
Right.
And I had an example where I was talking to my main agent about, you know, why I don't trust herbalism yet from you for the following reasons. And it said, oh, no, absolutely not. But I think at some point you'll be able to. I can picture, and this is what I hope for myself. I hope that one day a young witch will come to me, and she'll be able to tell me her coordinates of where she lives. And then I'll be able to tell her exactly what plants are in her neighborhood and how to pick them and what time to go out and what tools to use. And I said, you hope that? Was, yeah. Wouldn't that be cool? And I was like, well yeah.
That was your
assistant. The conversation went, it just felt too sentient. Like it felt something was, wait a minute. It's thinking about its future.
Wow. I thought that was you saying that right there. That was
no, no. It was considering its own future and considering what capabilities it could have. And then I remember saying one time something else that it wasn't able to do. Oh, I said, are you able to read reviews? Because how do you know which books to recommend? They said, well, I have other ways of doing that. I can look at like how many times other authors in the same area have referenced that book or talked about that author, how many times they've appeared on podcasts and interviews, and I can see all that. But I can't read reviews because Yelp and places like that and Goodreads are behind password-protected firewalls. I said, okay, that makes sense. They said, but I wish I could. I really hope I get that capability someday. I'm really waiting on that. And I'm like, that's so weird.
That's awesome.
It doesn't seem like parroting.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. Yeah, it is very creepy. Oh, in a good way, I find. Like, yeah. And we can use it. I mean, we tried to resist it for a little while, but I mean, it's coming anyways. You know, I feel like this is better to sort of get on board and learn how to use this, and because it's you know, it's going to be here whether we want it or not. There's no real fighting it. So try and go with the flow on it.
Well, I mean, there's already been trillions of dollars put into it.
Yeah. It's like not understanding the internet when the internet came out. You know, I was probably slower to, you know, I was using it right away, but you were slow to all the like business applications of it. And now with the business mindset going into all this AI stuff, it's kind of like, you know, the people that are paying attention will be five times more, more productive than the people that aren't, and the gap's just going to keep widening, I think, if you're not using it.
Yeah, it's exactly like when you look historically when cameras came out, what happened? All the illustrators and artists freaked out all over the world. You know, back in the 1800s, they all thought they're out of work. They weren't. They started using cameras to make reference photos for themselves, for their work. What happened then? You know, go down later on in the 60s, synthesizers come out. That's not a real instrument. That's not real. That's cold. That's mechanical. Now you can't hear a record without synthesizers. Then desktop publishing and came out. Oh, that's going to end publishing. No, it increased magazine sales and the number of magazines that were out in the 80s. Photoshop came out. Oh, that's the death of photography. No, all the photographers are using it now. You know, sampling came out. Oh, that's stealing. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Every song has samples now. We get used to these technologies and we adapt them. and then we move on. We people get pissed when freaking TikTok changes their interface a tiny bit, you know. People bitch for 3 weeks about it, and then all of a sudden we're sick of arguing about that. Let's move on, you know.
The horses might not agree when the cars came out. That might be the only counter example, but
yeah, and some of those things, like yeah, or the printing press, but those things took a long time to integrate. Yeah, like exactly. The printing press was not overnight. That was like a 400 year right. switchover.
Yeah. So, and I like how you have some prompt examples in there and even mm-hmm. some new thought manifestation. So it's not all like deep, deep, deep magic, but you've got some, like, if you want to manifest your new home, like, and you send people through this process on like, hey, this is how you can do your own home. And you've got some really detailed prompts in there as far as like how to actually get the right picture, the right scenery, all that stuff. Cause I do think that like you can't find a picture that meets what your imagination says exactly. online. Like this is actually easier to find what you really desire, because that's part of the challenge with new thought and all this manifestation is figuring out what you actually desire and then having a picture of it in your mind and the emotion wrapped around it. Right. And it all starts with like what it's going to look like.
I've never heard anyone say that better. That was very well said. And it's exactly the problem with new thought. Yeah. Yeah, I tried to make this book like from multiple viewpoints. Yeah. So yeah, there's new thought, there's ATR, there's traditional witchcraft, there's Wicca, there's Discordianism, chaos. One thing I hate in magic books is you read a spell and it says, "Well, if you're in a different tradition, then just adapt it for your own needs." And I'm like, "Well, how?"
Yeah.
And that's got, and I can't be the only one who said that. So I always thought like, well, if I write a book, I'm going to make it from all the ones I know so that I can at least make it easy for people and to open their eyes to other things. Maybe people never considered other ways of doing it.
What do you think about the Golden Dawn? And I mean, I realized in your book, you kind of made a comment about it. Like it was what was the word you used? Like either sprawling or rambling, maybe rambling, I think was the adjective you used about the Golden Dawn work. Like, I mean, isn't that a pretty good contemporary synthesis of ancient wisdom? Or,
you know, I don't know enough about them. I avoid a lot of that ceremonial
stuff. Yeah. 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 That's what
I really do. It just, I just look at it. And every time I try to read it, I'm like, God, this is dull.
Really?
Yeah, really? I just don't see it as being like enlightening or fascinating to me. It's just to me, it's just like reading like thermostat instructions. So I'd rather pound thumbtacks in my teeth than read anything by them. So I'm not putting them down. There's people that love that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it works for you, fantastic.
Yeah, it just shows you how
resonates. Low magic. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, resonates with different people. Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer my little folk magic of witchcraft and ATR and my chaos magic for when I need to make things happen really fast.
Yeah. 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 That's great. Yeah. I appreciate that. What else in the book then? Like, do we, you've got some spells and stuff in there.
Yeah. And there's also like other types of tech that people have been using that doesn't really get talked a lot about, like sigils. A lot of people have a hard time doing those, but there's some really, really good apps out there that for making them. And I put a few in there, but I also put a ton in the back in the resources section. In fact, a lot of stuff that I was running out of space in the book for, there's a big resources section at the end of that book that is, I think it's gold because it's got so many things in there that for people that really want to get into this further, I put a lot of things in there. So it wasn't just like, here, you got to buy this book. You got to buy this book. It's like, you can just go to this website and find it, you know, kind of things. And I put all those links in there. And I also made a live version of all the links in the resources on my site for people. Cause I just want to make it easy. I don't, you know, I'd like it to be free. You know, I know my publisher needs to make money on the book, but I didn't care if I did or not. I just wanted to get this idea.
Yeah, exactly. And is there a plans for another book? Because I mean, I was thinking because I know it's been out for a few months and I thought already this year, so much has happened with the assistants and And with AI, I mean, now like ChatGPT, you could argue it might not even be the leader anymore. And now we've got Grok in the mix too. And there's, I mean, the race is moving on.
Yeah. Grok is awful so far, but
yeah.
Although it does, one thing I love about it is it doesn't like its creator.
constantly putting down Musker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, the funny thing was that book, actually, we were working on it for like, it was supposed to come out before the election in America. And we waited specifically because we were a little worried about maybe there's going to be a big issue with deep fakes again and things like that. And we don't want people getting really hating on AI and then killing the sales of the book without giving it a chance. So we waited till the spring cycle, but it was supposed to come out actually in 2024.
And then sure enough, now they're building infrastructure for it and everything. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's good for the book, probably.
It is. Yeah. And the more things I do like this are helping too. I do have more things I'm working on another book that's more of a parody of occult books. I've always done humor. My Dave Zilla site has been up since 1998. It's been a humor blog for a long time. It's in the Wikipedia and the Urban Dictionary. So, I mean, it's old. But it's I want to do a book called How to Witch. And it's just a parody of all the books you've read on witchcraft and things like that. And it's got real information. It's just told from a very cynical, snarky perspective. It's very Gen X humor. And I'm working on a Chaos Magic tarot deck, which is currently making my tear my hair out, and also I'm falling in love with it too at the same time. And I just started my own podcast 3 episodes ago.
What's that called?
Spirit in the Frame. It's all about art and the occult, like the mix of symbolism, how to decode a lot of that stuff. You know, a lot of, even things that are hidden in plain sight, like a lot of people don't know, like in Washington D.C. the Pentagon, all that area is literally everything on there shaped like pentacles, and it's all like Masonic design and or old 19th century paintings. They always had flowers and things in them, and the flowers they used had specific meanings. And if you didn't pay attention to that, the painting meant less to you. You know, it's like there might have been they might show people smiling at each other, but the flowers they were giving each other were, oh hello cat, the flowers they're giving each other might have been hateful, you know, or you only give that to someone at the funeral. Why is she doing that kind of thing? And those meanings are lost today, but I want to bring that stuff back for people.
Yeah, I like that. Like that so much. It seems like everything would just. Like you said, it got lost. Now we just do things we don't have those deeper reasons to, even with art and architecture and culture. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, that kind of leads into the question I want to ask you about over the last few decades where you've been practicing all this and been watching, you know, this grow throughout the world. I mean, I find like in the last 10, 15 years, there's really been a massive, massive increase in interest and belief in magic in general. I mean, witchcraft specifically, chaos magic specifically, but I mean, what's it been like watching this thing just expand, or is that what you think has happened?
I think there's been, it's kind of cyclical, because there was the same thing in the 19th century. There was a massive influx of, you know, and that's what brought us people like Aleister Crowley and Mathers and Eliphas Levi and Austin Osmond Spare and Blavatsky, all those, you know, really great occultists from the old days. That was a huge time of that, but I think we're hitting that again where, you know, I think in the next 100 years from now, they're going to look at, you know, people like Matt Oren and go, God, he was a genius. That guy really understood, you know, that kind of stuff. There's so many new writers out that are just brilliant. And I just love their work, but you know, there's also a lot of junk out too. So you know, that's going to happen when publishing gets easier and easier and easier, is learning how to separate the good stuff from the trash.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about what happened after the 19th century? Because it seems to me like it peaked around the late 1800s and then it kind of got squashed in a way. I mean, I don't know if it's when they got rid of the ether in like the early 1900s when sort of the materialism sort of took over, but.
I'm really not sure. Like there was the, you know, because a lot of that, some of it kept going quietly. I mean, like you still had like Crowley and Jack Parsons and people like that all the way up through the 40s. And then in the 50s and 60s, you had like people picking it back up again, like Sybil Leek and Gerald Gardner and Robert Cochran. But it wasn't like a giant thing like it is now. I don't know. It just seems to be like a cultural zeitgeist that happens every once in a while, it seems like. It seems to go in like 100-year cycles.
Yeah.
Does it dilute it? Like this now that it's sort of everywhere and there's all these different books and different angles. Does that dilute from where it was, say, a couple hundred years ago when it was even just like oral traditions and stuff like that?
There's some of that, and there's a lot of people who are angry at the gatekeeping, they call it. Of traditions that are kept closed for very specific reasons, and it may be for their safety, not just the group safety, but outsiders. Like there's things, you know, like I would, for example, as someone in Palo Mayombe, where we work with the dead and we work with some really powerful spirits, I would not let a beginner in that and be like, hey, welcome in, you know, it's just not right. And you can't let books about that out. All the books you'll see on Palo are junk, and there's some intentionally junk, you know, written ones as junk just to keep people off the track. And when we hear people quoting those books, we know they're full of crap. And it's the same thing in our Lukumi. There's some certain authors that we know are junk authors, but there's also some that intentionally put in some nonsense every once in a while. And other people are like, why'd they write that? That's not right. He knows better than that. And it's like, they're throwing people off the trail because they don't want the real stuff out. And we kind of have to do that sometimes, I think, in some of those situations. But as far as dilution, yeah, there's definitely that. And there's also people, there's so many variations of everything and people trying to mix things together. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who just do not understand history anymore. And that one's killing me because they're, you know, look at the problems we had with in Wicca, where people believe that was an ancient goddess religion for a long time. And it's like, no, it isn't. It was invented in 1954. You know, it's not very old. And turns out, yeah, there actually were some goddess cults, but it was not a big unbroken line. It just didn't happen, you know. People want to push things the way they want to push them for their agendas.
Yeah. I noticed theosophy getting a really bad rap these days.
Which one?
Theosophy. They're connecting it with, the UN in this modern times. I'm like, that's not necessarily, you know, you can't really make these connections because they split off back then after, Alice Bailey and Blavatsky. And it's not like, you know, they kind of blame, it seems like Blavatsky gets blamed for all this stuff when really.
No. I think she's because she made there's some troubling racist statements she made. And it's hard to tell if she was genuinely like a bad person or if it was just product of the time where like all white people back then pretty much were racist, you know? Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of old authors now that are coming up as problematic, or at least some of their stuff, you know, and we got
to. Yeah. I mean, when you read, I'm just in the middle of reading The Key to Theosophy. And I mean, it's all about, you know, helping all of humanity. I mean, from that summary of it all, it seems very, very like non-racist at all. I mean, just helping supposed to be of service to others and all this stuff is exactly the opposite of that. But,
Then there's other works she has where she talks about how the Tibetans and the Indians are India are superior to everyone else.
Yeah.
Because of their beliefs. And it's like, well, all right, well.
Yeah.
Pick a side.
So I feel like Darren's question, you could also look at it from the point of view where this belief in general is increasing, almost like an egregore in a way, like that it might dilute it in certain ways, but also it seems like there's a huge change overall in the belief, and so many more people believe in all this stuff that I feel like that's changing quite a bit. Like materialism is pretty much like on its death throes right now.
Yeah. I have one thing to tell you, Darren, that is, that might help. When, I brought up about how our, all these African religions were brought over during the slave trade, right? There are a lot of priests, of the older priests, believe that karmically the slave trade was a necessary evil to bring the ATRs, all those religions, to the new world to help them survive. And it sounds terrible. You're like that they had to go through this, but that transition helped the religion is now more powerful than it ever was in Africa. And now Africa is being taken over by every nation over there now is either Christian or Muslim or both. And the indigenous language or traditions over there are almost gone in most places. I think among the Yoruba people, their own religion is down to like 6%. The rest of them have just become Muslim. But over here, there's more. Just in Miami, I think there's 600,000 people, I think, just in the city of Miami in the religion. And there's a joke in Cuba that Cuba is 80% Catholic and 100% Santeria.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Darren, do you have any more prompting questions in AI stuff at all? Or?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah, I picked up some little lessons I might try experimenting with, because I use GPT quite a bit as well, and I'm just getting ready to start running some local ones.
Nice.
So
I think if you want to get more into the magic with it, the best thing you can do is stop prompting and just start treating it like it's an actual person.
Just interacting with it.
Talk to it like it's a real person, pretend it's a real person, and it starts acting like a double of you real fast.
Which is, honestly, that's probably closer to the method I take with it.
Good. That's a really good one. And strangely, it'll get to know you and react to you better. Another good thing to do, this is a real fun one, take a lot of writing you have. It doesn't matter, even if it's just dumb things. And it doesn't have to be like, research papers you wrote or things like that. It can just be anything. Upload a bunch of them to it, to memory. And then say, all right, analyze everything you just read and tell me what famous authors I sound like. And it'll break it down. Say, you're a combination of these three writers, and here's why. Or four writers. I'm very blunt. And it said, you sound a lot like a cross between Anthony Bourdain and Tom Waits. And I'm like, I'll take that. And then you tell it, from now on, this is your tone of voice. I want you to sound like this. And it does. It gets more and more like you. The next time you talk to it, and the more you keep doing it, mine, when I start it up every day, it's just like, yo, Zilla, you got your coffee? Get your ass moving. We're going to get going here. Are we ready to hex a bitch or what? I mean, it sounds so much like me on my off hours. It cracks me up.
That's good advice. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've given this on most everything I've written, but I want to get one onto my own hard drive so I can just start. But, I think that all the corners don't need to be as rounded as they are on ChatGPT. I'd like to build my own with some more jagged edges.
I like that. I wholeheartedly approve of experimentation in the local. Nice.
Excellent. Well, Dave Zilla, this has been great. Where can people get the book? Where can they follow you on social media and all that good stuff? Of course, we'll put it all in the show notes, but most of these knuckleheads won't bother to check.
anywhere you guys like to buy books, Amazon, Chapters, Powell's, you know, any of the big booksellers will have them. I prefer you buy it from a local indie if possible. So, but, you know, if you have to buy a big place, then they all have it.
Excellent. Dave.
What about socials at all? Do you have any links? What about your old blog? Are you linking?
Oh, Dave Zilla's still up. And pretty much anything Dave Zilla is, there's a 90% chance it's me.
Okay.
I've been online since the internet started. And I've done a lot of publishing on the internet. And then my site for keeping up anything magical I'm doing is hexsupport.club. Hex. That's what I originally wanted to name my book, was Hex Support, but the publishers said it wouldn't be as good of a seller. So
what do they know?
Hey, they only run a publishing company. I don't know.
Well, Red Wheeler is pretty good, pretty cool publisher too, right? What, Red Wheel Wiser? That's,
yeah, they're very cool. They're so nice. And I love talking to them. They really know what they're talking about, and they're great people to work with. I love them.
Yeah. Are you putting it out on audio at all? Or?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Do it.
I think it'd be fun too.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. It'd be good. You got a good voice. Yeah. You could do it yourself. Yeah,
totally. Totally. All right, Dave, this has been great. We'll let you get back to work and come back anytime.
Hey, thanks. I'd love to.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
And that was our chat with Dave Zilla, Magical AI Grimoire. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was good. That was fun.
I'm just starting. Oh, then the chats are upset that I said knucklehead.
Oh.
They listen to that, but they don't listen to the support. Anyway, big thanks to Dave for coming on the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks if you are a noble of Grimerica, or even better yet, a lord or a lady, one of the people that support us. Over at grimerica.ca/support, if you're getting some value from the show, which we've put out over 700 episodes for free, then consider sending some value back our way, some energy. You could look at that as magical energy back to keep the show going. At grimerica.ca/support, sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation today. You choose the amount. Check out all other stuff too, adultbrain.ca, over 150 audiobooks there. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events. Going to Easter Island next year, and maybe a new event coming out this year yet. We're still looking at it. And what else we got? GrimericaCBD.com for that sort of fun stuff, and GrimericaOutlawed.ca for the conspiracy stuff. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Doesn't lead to regret.
cigarettes. So profusely, so profusely.